Living It Life with Gregory Ricks. How you doing? It's your wallet's favorite show. Time to be better with your money. I am your co-host, James Parker, 504-260-0995. Gregory will be here just shortly. So if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995, or you can send us a call or a quick text via the Winning It Life app. A couple things going on is, the financial world's starting to shape up. You know, we're kind of in this cloud of chaos, this fog with, well, we're threatening these tariffs. Well, they're threatening these tariffs back. Well, then they're threatening these other tariffs. Well, then we're going to do some sanctions. And so then you kind of walk through it and the actual tariffs actually go into effect and then people start paying them. And, okay, we're kind of wondering how long this is going on. Well, it sounds like some of these little issues are getting resolved left and right. We have Mexico, who is still working. Their group's working with the group from the Trump administration to redo NAFTA, and we're expecting an announcement on that any time now, which would be basically a renegotiation of half of NAFTA. Which half? Well, the southern half. And the Chinese said they want to have a chat now about some of these tariffs. We got to get this resolved. And Gregory and I, we just talked about this yesterday. The Shanghai is getting beat up. They're in bear territory for the year thus far. They're missing all kinds of numbers. They're having to pull back investments. And they're saying they want to talk now. And you know what he's doing, Gregory? He's doing to China the same thing he did to North Korea when he said he tried to lean on them to have a meeting. The second North Korea is like, all right, well, we can have a summit, you know. He came out a couple days later. He's like, I'm not so sure I want to have a summit. I mean, they haven't really given up anything yet. And then they gave something up. And now he's talking about that for China. And he did the same thing for Canada, too.
Look, if their GDP starts regressing, factories start laying off people. I don't know what it is in China, because you take a job, work it all your life, I guess, or firing, or and then shift to, oh, we don't need this factory anymore. These massive cities they built, people are going to quit moving to them. Some supposedly 22 million a year moves from farmland to the cities. What I'm getting at, all this stuff starts slowing down. Their GDP is already going to be affected. You're seeing their markets getting crushed. So if this real estate bubble of theirs pops, this could cause it to. It is a total train wreck for them. And they just can't have this real estate bubble pop. It probably will one day. However, they've got a lot of that that's got to keep on going for them. So if they sense that, they are going to come to the table. They don't have any choice to agree to a level playing field.
We're just seeing them fall in line, though. The EU fell in line first. They've already got their little deals working out, and the tariffs are starting to dry up on that front. Mexico's been working on it, and so we think that that's going to be resolved fairly soon. China wants to come to the table, and then I heard Justin Trudeau kind of, you know, feigned a little deference toward the Trump administration, saying, listen, whenever he's ready to get to work, we're open to talking and getting this tariff stuff back to some new normal. And Trump's like, well, I'm not going to talk to y'all while you'll still have your tariffs up. You did your retaliatory tariffs, and you still have that ridiculous dairy tariff thing going. And maybe when he resolves that, we can sit down and talk. But I'd love to talk to him. So this is straight out of his book. He's acting like a businessman again and not like a politician. And he's just following, for me and you.
Politicians cave.
Right. For me and you, he's just going through the textbook of what they teach you in B school.
You know, Wharton School of Business.
Well, that's where he went, but that's a lot better than East Texas Baptist University. But even my little bumpkin college out in the middle of nowhere taught me better than what's going on with Justin Trudeau.
I don't know. People say, well, he doesn't have foreign policy experience. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. Let's see. He took his dad's residential real estate business and turned it into a $1 billion-plus empire. He went from being a real estate guy to a TV personality. And he went to building real estate around the world, and then he went about telling what he thought on a campaign trail to actually being voted in as president. And I think being president is more about negotiations more than anything. What is foreign policy? You're negotiating something with somebody. Really, what is foreign policy? Oh, we got to do it. We got to come to agreement. Oh, we got to stop the war. We got to stop them from having a war. Okay. It's a negotiation.
Yes.
That's
what an asset having a businessman in that office is.
It's better than politician, because a politician really doesn't know how to negotiate. They just know how to move off of their spot and meet somewhere beyond where you want to be.
And what poll test? Well, how is this going to affect me in the next election? Or is this going to tick off some of my donors? Or they, you're right. They
do the best job. Don't worry about the next election. I think everybody's too worried about the next election or the polls.
Well, that's something the Chinese don't have to worry about. But Xi Jinping is not infallible, and he's not someone who can't be thrown out of his seat. I'm telling you, there's probably six people in that Politburo that are waiting for him they want to stab him in the back so they can be at the guy at the front. You know, you're never a guy in a position of power and no one's trying to take you down. You know, that's what we learned from every Roman emperor all the way up through what we have going on in China right now.
This hasn't come to fruition, but it's on its way. And this, I still agree, is you have to do it at some point. Do you want to do it when your economy's in trouble or when your economy's strong?
You hear that, China?
It sounds like the other ones are in trouble before this even started.
Yeah, I hope some of y'all have one of those Chinese phones and they're listening to all this. Let's
see, when should you negotiate with the UK? Oh, when they're transitioning to Brexit. Yeah, they need to do a deal. North Korea needs to do a deal. Turkey needs to do a deal. They just don't realize it, but they'll come around eventually. China wanted to play hardball, but they have to do a deal. Canada, Mexico, they all have to. Why? Biggest economy on the planet's right here.
And that's really, we're learning, that's all that matters, is having a robust economy. And we should have been taking advantage of this better the last 70 years. But I was tickled at this. Gregory, see this picture here? This guy, this is a Turk. There's a Turkish flag, and there's his iPhone down there. They're all in. Some of them are all in on this America boycott, and they're smashing their iPhones, Gregory.
Well, that's because now they're being brainwashed over there.
I'm not smashing.
Smash it, because you're going to have to buy another.
How are these people going
to? What? Yeah, what? You are.
What happens
unless
if
you're going to buy that, what is it, the burn phone, ZTE or whatever
the
that
Chinese
is.
One?
Yeah, the burn. People call them the burn phones or something like that.
Oh, the burner phones are the burner pay phones. As you go. Yeah. But yeah. The funny thing is, what happens?
But those are made by ZTE.
Do they make burner phones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that's primarily what they do.
No. No, burner phones are made by a bunch of people.
Okay. Burner phones. Well, they have a popular burner phone.
A burner phone means you don't go to a store and sign up for an account. You just buy one.
I know.
Okay. But there's a lot of people that make those. Here's the deal, though. First thing I thought of is, what if they sign a deal like Friday? What if they sign a deal on Monday and you just smashed your iPhone, you know, on the Thursday before? What are you thinking? You're going to, like you said, you're going to have to go replace it.
Hey, adding to business.
I mean, how much is this iPhone I have in my hand? What is this, like $600? I'm not destroying that because my world leader said we should be mad at another world leader.
Apple's looking at the film saying, yeah, you're way overdue for an upgrade.
Yeah, we were going to throttle your battery
really,
anyway.
Now, think about it. Do you actually think they're smashing the phones they use with their friends or text messages, their password saved in the phone?
Some of them have to be
in their
dumb.
Phone. No, that's not their phones. Those are burners.
Are you sure?
Because those somebody else's that they found left sitting at the bar the night before. They're not. if you want to make an example, I've got a drawer full of phones. Hey, let's like pretend we're smashing phones, but we're not smashing mine.
This seems like the economic equivalent, though, of those people that burn LeBron jerseys. But really,
what would you rather? Get one like yours and smash, or smash yours?
Oh, I'd rather get one like mine and smash
it. I say you be 100% all in, but I'm going to use this old dead one I have.
Yeah, I'm not smashing my iPhone. I don't care who's boycotting who. I love this thing, and it's a part of me now.
Yeah, but when you think about it, really? Let me see. Let's get us 25 friends together, and let's see if they'll smash. Any one of them will smash their phones. I'd say zero would participate in that, and I don't care who it's for. Let's take 25 people that hate Trump, okay? Let's make a statement. We'll do a video, and we'll post it. Smash your phones.
Do you know anybody you could dupe into smashing their phone?
No, I wouldn't dupe them. I would just ask them for this cause and then reverse it the other way. Say, you really hate Pelosi. Well, smash your phone making a statement. Both sides. You know what I expect?
Zero.
Zero response. Like, no. So, third world country, third world-ish country, how important is something like that to you to be connected? Because otherwise in Turkey, if you're not using a device that connects you to what's going on in the world, where are you without a phone there? So I think it's even more important.
I don't put it past these people to smash their own phone. They're in a culture and they're in a setting where they can get whipped into a frenzy and convince all women to not wear a bikini in the summer.
I could believe in North Korea, yeah, we'll smash our phones because they're hardly of any use. I can't get no internet. I can't text. All I get is Korean music about the ruler. You know, my emails don't even work. I don't have service at night because battery runs down and I can't charge it. No electricity. Yeah, you can smash my phone. It's North Korea.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. No
story to be Winning at Life. The Daily Route. Live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Dial the number. You know you have a money question. Mutual funds, 401k, stocks. What about those mutual funds? What about that ugly variable annuity? What about REITs? What about Social Security? When do you turn it on? Interesting meetings I had today. Call me, 504-260-0995. We already are having like downloads to the app already. We were on the air and we have a download for the Winning at Life app. Sean Hunter, welcome to the Winning at Life Nation. There's a few others. How about Gene? Welcome. Ranjit, welcome to Winning at Life Nation. Awesome. Early responses to the app. They know they want to be connected going forward. Have an opportunity to text, email, call the show from your screen, connected to podcast, update on text. You can opt in to the newsletter. A couple of emails we send out a week is just like tremendous stuff. And then, hey, you can set your alarm. We don't have that in the app, but we should. But go to that alarm page and set an alarm, 7 o'clock weeknights and 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Just have an alarm that goes off for winning at life zone. I gotta listen in.
And
do
if,
it.
And if you're busy at 7, then the next hour you're open, set an alarm to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
No excuses here. Hey, you had mentioned it on the break there. Did I hear Aretha Franklin passed?
I must have got all kind of notifications this morning. It's like every 5 minutes, start iHeartRadio, then CNBC, then Fox News, and you know, it's just, I guess everybody's catching up. But you know, that is somebody that had financial success.
Oh yeah.
Tremendous musician, singer, like her own movement.
The question, though, that I like, is she the best singer of all time?
Oh, my gosh. That'd be like saying the best quarterback of all time.
It's a lot like that.
Or the best. Because you have this debate, well, LeBron or is it Michael? And I heard on a show this morning I caught a couple minutes of is Michael's number one and then somebody else was number two. And then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was number three. And LeBron wasn't even in those mix of those three. I wished I could remember who the second one was. But he explained about Abdul because he
probably
had,
Bill Russell, wasn't it?
I don't remember. However, when you go to Kareem, he won three titles in college. He was dominant in high school. And in the pros, he won like six. He's the all-time scorer. And he had this, you millennials, it's called the skyhook. It was unstoppable.
I can't believe it went away.
He could be number one. But it's, you know, when everybody goes do the three-point shots, let's see if any of them can, any of these three-point experts can become the all-time scorer in the NBA, because that's actually a stoppable shot. But the skyhook?
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I can't believe it went away. In fact, he was so good at it, it almost took away from the fun of watching him. It's like, oh, he's got it in the paint.
He gets the ball in the paint.
Let me guess, another skyhook.
Yeah, it's going in.
Playing against him was horrible.
And I copied him some on that when I played ball in high school, and it was kind of fun because I copied to do the sky. I wasn't very good at it, but when you could do it and hit it, they were like, what did you just do?
Right. All right, yeah. So I would say Aretha is a definite maybe at number one, but the question, like you said, it's like the quarterback, but it becomes, well, who's better then? And I would say maybe Whitney Houston for the females, and for the males, Aretha Franklin's not bigger than Elvis Presley or bigger than the Beatles, but she may be a better singer than all them. So, Derek. You're going to be first up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Thanks for calling in, Derek. What can we do for you over in Picayune?
Yeah, I've been blessed and kind of prepared this year with a lot of overtime, and I got about $7,000 to $10,000 extra money that I didn't budget on. And my question is, should I put it in savings to get my savings up to the 3 to 6 months that it should be, or should I pay off a student loan?
Oh my gosh! So tell me about the student loan.
I graduated about 13 years ago. I've got about just over 6,000 left, and it's at like 2.5% interest.
So what's the monthly payment on that?
I'm so far ahead that my next monthly payment isn't due until like for another 4 years. But it's okay.
So what are you paying on it?
Right now I'm paying about 2.25% a month.
And how long did you say? How much did you have? About $6,000 left?
Just over $6,000.
So tell me about emergency savings then.
If I spend this money, I got about the equivalent of about 2 months. If I use this money to pay it off. Otherwise, if I put this money into savings, I'll be up to about 4.5 months.
So with what's going on in your life, how much extra income do you project a month over the next 6 months?
Yeah, like, are you going to still get this overtime? Is that what we're asking?
Oh, yeah. I expect this overtime to continue to fresh the year, yeah. I'm probably going to be 15 to 20% above my normal pay.
So you could probably have an additional $6,000 by end of the year?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a fair assessment.
Yeah, here's where I would go. I'd park this money to emergency because we don't – that's why there are emergencies or surprises. That's why you have emergency money. You don't know what might happen. I would put this money to that and take this next 6 months and make that college loan go away.
Okay.
Both are positive and both can change your life.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you've got emergency money fixed. You've got the debt law, debt is gone on the college loan, then 2019 is a different story for you on what to do going forward. I'm glad you called. Gosh, you're just like, wow, this is awesome for you. I'm excited for you. And what can happen for you going forward having these two things in place?
Yeah, it was one of those ones that just, either way, I knew it was good. Either one would be good. I just didn't know which one would be.
Yeah. And you're way ahead on that college loan, but fix that savings, make sure that's secure. And then with the rest of the year, go ahead and get rid of that college loan and you're golden.
Yeah. God bless that overtime, huh, Derek?
Awesome.
Yeah. Good thing.
Congrats.
Yeah. Congrats, right, Derek. Glad you called us. Hope he ends up.
He
doing
is
right
winning
thing.
At life.
I just loved his tone and where he's like, it just a blessing from God came down and I get all this overtime.
Yeah.
Because I turn on the TV and I hear these people saying, we need a 35-hour work week like France. It's like, that's not how you get ahead in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and how many people go to work and they gripe about having to stay late or going an extra day. Meanwhile, you're working at 7:30 every weeknight and every Saturday morning too.
You know, I came across this article and I actually had finished reading it right before the show started. And it caught my attention last night because it was a current version of a person that had went about saying, what I learned from working like Benjamin Franklin for a week. So I didn't go to his first one where he said he was going to try to replicate Benjamin Franklin's work week. But what I read about was what he learned from working like him for a week. And then the article that I read is, okay, I did that a year ago and here's what I still use from it. And it's very interesting. He kind of made some notes, but Benjamin Franklin got up at 5 a.m. every day. He would rise, wash, and address powerful goodness. Try to read all this in Benjamin's type here. Contrive.
Are you reading from his notes?
Business. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin's notes here. And take resolution of the day, prosecute the present, study, and breakfast. That was from 5 to 7 for Benjamin Franklin. His morning question every day was, what good shall I do this day? The guy said the most powerful impact, to shorten the story here with the minute we have till break, with what he learned from that week is the revolution getting up a couple hours every day before the kids, the wife, the solitude, how it slowed things down, what he could get done. And looking at Benjamin's day was the most powerful part for him was that day. We can talk more about it after the break, but the guy that did this and a year later, he said it's tough to live like Benjamin Franklin, but the one thing he still does, he gets up at 5 a.m. every day. He said some days it's really hard, but it's a powerful effect. And one thing he does do, he goes to bed at 10 o'clock every night.
Oh, that's the tough part for me. I can't do that.
You will. Once you start doing the 5 a.m., because he also is ready and prepared to have time with his kids every morning, too, before they go to school.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. Live talk radio about money. Here's the number. Great caller last segment. One of the best. Put him up there.
Okay.
Getting a plan in place and able to go forward. Solving emergency money. Solving college debt. How many people need to solve that today? Phone number is 504-260-0995. And I'm glad both were manageable. And solve for going forward. He doesn't, after 2018, he should never have to worry about college debt. It's gone. and he's got emergency money solved unless something hits it, which could. That's why it's there. And then he can get about other things he needs to do with money. Kind of be Benjamin Franklin-like, huh?
All right, next live event, September 12th. What's going on? He's not quite ready for that, but at what point will he be ready for that? Who's ready for that?
When you've been working on assets, accumulating assets, probably got a bunch of money in the 401k, maybe some IRAs. You might be a change of life, maybe coming into some money, might be in saying, you know, gosh, this isn't going so well. I've got money, but I need to make sure I'm on the path. Or, you know, I'm getting this feeling it's about time to retire. I'm getting this vibe that they might be wanting to cut me loose. I've been there for 30 years. What do I do with this money? Where am I on the path? This market's high. I made a lot of money. I've got some risk. What do I do about that? You know, I've heard you talking about a will and IRA trusts, and I've got some concerns. What should I do? What you should do is call the office and RSVP for our live event on September 12th. We're going to cover a number of these things. We're going to talk about multiple streams of income, about where you are on the path, changes you might need to make. What about Uncle Sam getting in your pocket? Maybe you want to be like Michelle, Kiplinger article I just finished up. It's going to be on our newsletter that's going out. You might want to sign up for the newsletter too, that we send out bi-monthly, and it goes on our blog. But you might want to see how she can have $80,000 in income and only pay taxes on about $22,000 of it, is what we've helped her make changes and adjust and improve her path. The RSVP, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. We're going to do some wine tasting. It's going to be paired with food, and we're going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some tips that you can take away. Wes Blanchard's going to be there and talk about that estate planning as well, and give you some tips that you can take home as well. Simply just call the office, 504-832-9200, and RSVP. You have to RSVP because it is going to be full. I'm going to charge you $10, and then we're going to match it and donate it to a local charity. So we're going to do some good. We like doing some good, and you're going to be a part of it. And I think you take away a lot more, and gosh, have a fun experience and make friends.
The office, 504-832-9200. Go to GregoryRicks.com, or you can find it on the Winning It Life app. There's a little RSVP option there under the more section. Gregory, are you ready for this numbers?
No, I'm going to finish. I think we kind of teased everybody with the Benjamin Franklin deal. So back again.
Oh, there's more on that. Good.
Ben would wake up at 5.
Right.
He'd rise, wash, and address powerful goodness. Because one of the question he would ask every morning is, what good shall I do this day? And he would contrive the day's business and take the resolution of the day, prosecute the present, study, and breakfast. Then at 8 o'clock, he would be at work till noon, because on his daily description is he works through the morning. Remember, he started at 5. Now he's at work at 8. At noon, he's going to read or look over his accounts. He's referring to his money. How am I doing with my money? He does look at that every day.
Who owes me? Who do I owe? All that good stuff. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Or, you know, my goal is to set up that perpetual annuity.
Oh,
and
right.
And actually,
right.
He did. It could have been part of his thinking. Is I've got to work on this every day and dine. And then from 2 to 5, what did he list? Work. Pretty simple. I'm going to work. And then at six.
So it was 2 to 6?
Well, from 2 to 5, he listed work. At okay. 6, so that's through 5 o'clock. So, you know, he might have had that hour in there to get to take the horse and buggy to get home.
Right.
Not kind of sure about that. For some of us, it's a commute. Mine's 10 minutes. James's 12. Some of you, it's an hour. I know it varies. And then at 6, he has put things in their places. Supper. I guess he kind of organized himself when he got home. Supper, music or diversion, conversation, and then examination of the day. The evening, the question of the evening is kind of remember what he did in the morning. He asked, what good shall I do this day? In the evening, he readdresses it. What good have I done today? That's interesting. And then at 10 o'clock, he has sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting up at 5 every morning, I think 10 o'clock's a good time to sleep. Or go about getting ready, you know, brush your teeth because you're not going to want anything else to eat or drink. And me, I'm dozing off at that time anyhow. I actually, last night at 10, I was continuing to try to read. There's a couple of stories I wanted to read and articles, and I'm like, I caught myself. Oh, I've got to go to bed. So Stacy and my wife got ready for bed. And then that gave me a little pep. So I read a few minutes more and then I was out. Book hits the floor. The remote hits the floor, all that.
What do you think about the alone solitude time being the last 2 hours of the day? Because that's about what I work out. I have about an hour by myself. The kids go to bed at 8, which means we're done messing with the stragglers at about 9. Me and Mrs. Parker, we get an hour together. So it's either TV time or sometimes we play music or we do something for an hour. And then from 10 to 11 is all mine. And sometimes I kind of stretch that till 12. What's your thoughts on doing that?
You're not getting up early. No, I'm not getting up when everybody else. You're shifting that, but are you truly alone time? Is it focused? And look, this is his guide. And for a lot of us, where are we getting that extra time? There's another take I'd read a month or so ago, and it's getting more time out of the day, and it could be extending that hour, but it's probably grabbing another hour in the morning of that solitude. Because can you say consistently you have that solitude every evening? Yeah. I'd say it's probably 50-50 what you're showing there.
Yeah, it's maybe a little more than 50-50, but for the most part I get it. I have woken up early. Most of my early wake-ups, though, have been because I'm on various morning shows. But the earliest time I had to get up for a while there was 4 in the morning. That was my normal wake-up time. And the one thing I liked about that is if you got on the road and you drove somewhere, you're the only guy driving around. Right? You just felt like you had the whole world to yourself. And so you would already go through your emails and you would check up on everything you're doing and you would get started to work and everyone would start showing up to work about 8 o'clock and you're already halfway into your day saying, come on, y'all, where have y'all been? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. I got things. I've been waiting on you. Let's go. And I liked being that guy.
Look, you have to figure out what works for you, but kind of the suggestion that I've read and seen is for most, it's going to be early in the morning. The late seems to be distractions or whatever. I'm tired at the end of the day. I don't have the energy and focus for the late evening. Have I done late evenings in the past? Yeah, but then I struggle on the reading and such. And sometimes I can get wired and go. But what I find is more in the morning. But once I hit that 10 o'clock barrier, I'm like done. And it's not like I've had an easy day. I'm having to do research through the day, look at market items, look at technicals, do reading, prepare for meetings, end meetings, and I'm having to stay extremely focused. So I don't have some leisurely day where I've still got a lot of energy. I don't knock off at 5 o'clock. I knock off a few minutes after 8. My focus time where I'm freshest in the morning.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
Winning It Life, your wallet's favorite show. Download the Winning It Life app. Join the nation. Want to make a call? Call us. 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. I think we're going to do the numbers. We kind of handle the Benjamin Franklin thing. Look, the guy, once again, year later, what part out of all that does he do? He gets up early.
And that's the hardest part.
That part of the day. But yeah, he spends times with his kids in the morning, in the evening, lunch. You know, I at a time let my work and business take over my personal life. And one of the things I found also doing is having time with my wife in the morning, at lunch, and in the evening. So there is some focus to that as well, to maintain a quality at home lifestyle and relationship. I think that's important. We can work, and I work all the time, but there are times of the day where I do make sure that's taken care of as well. Just want to put in there.
The number. What, did you get a text about that I didn't see? Is that what happened there?
No, but it is how I live my life.
Just poking at you. Hey, welcome to the numbers segment. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're referencing. Go to winningitlife.com or the Winning It Life app. And the word today is green. And most of this, most of this is based.
See, no text since 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. And that was the other topic I wanted to talk about today, because we're going to do that on Saturday. Remind me after the numbers to talk about that.
Okay.
But when I woke up this morning, futures were already looking fairly positive, and a lot of this was hinging on, we heard from China where they're wanting to talk and do something about these tariffs, and we know Mexico is still in the middle of their negotiations, and they signaled back to their press that they're actually just putting the finishing touches on a renegotiate to NAFTA. And then we heard from Canada wants to come to the table, but Trump pushed them away. And Turkey's doubling down, but who gives a rip about them? There's so much good news. Boom.
Yeah, you wasn't in no hurry, but you're in a hurry now, and I'm kind of busy negotiating with other countries. You're going to have to wait in line.
You know what? That's exactly what it was, wasn't it? That's exactly.
So we've had all this history, decades I've heard this. Oh, tariffs, there's never a winner. It always goes bad. It's always bad for the economy. It hurts everybody. Okay. I'm scratching my head. Okay, and that's what they were saying this whole time. Don't do it. It's bad. It's not going to work out good. Well, it's not finished yet, but doesn't look like it's going to be a train wreck. Kind of looks a little more positive. So where was all this being? Nobody would ever do it because they were always told it's going to go bad. Well, where are they basing this on? Something in 1880?
Well, we know it goes bad, but
going bad for somebody if they don't come to an agreement.
Right. Well, we already had, who was that flinched? The EU flinched. And what did we have? We had tariffs on for 3 weeks on those guys. So, yeah, a trade war would be bad if it went on for about 2 years, but 3 weeks isn't going to hurt anybody. You know, if we can keep it under two, what are we now, 2 months into
this?
Well,
putting it out there, like, we're doing this in 30 days if you don't want to come to an agreement. And about 2 days before, oh, yeah, we've been thinking about this for a while.
And of course it's bad. That's the point. That's how we're going to get them to change their tariff regime to something that's a little more reciprocal to what we give the rest of the world. So, yeah, it's bad. That's the point. But the Dow Jones up 1.6 today. S&P was up 0.8%.
That is, okay, we had a bad day yesterday, but that rolled up a lot more positive than was given up the day before. But that seems to be the thing, up and down, up and down.
Right. NASDAQ wasn't loving it as much as everyone else. They were up 0.4%, but
they weren't off much yesterday either.
So what do you think here? This is a winning trend. It feels like a winning trend. We had that little losing streak for about a week and a half there that was kind of making me nervous.
Well, Well, that's the UK. Let me look at this. The Dow over 5 days. Okay, we're up. NASDAQ over 5 days. Up. S&P, gosh, it's about even. It's chaotic, but it's pretty close to where it was. Maybe slightly down over the past 5 days. Russell, about even. Global is down. Japan's up. Europe, down. UK, down. That's just kind of a five-day look.
10-year treasuries.
2.868. God, when are we getting to 3%?
We had it almost a week ago.
Well, here's what we need to get. We need to get to 3.1 so that we, when it kind of, as it moves, we stay above 3. Maybe we need to get 3.2. I think we could approach that neighborhood by end of the year. We're expecting 2 more rate hikes. That's going to ultimately be a half point above. We don't need a half point to get above 3, but I think we get to where we're back in a 3% discussion, 2.99, 3.1, 3.018. You know, we need to have 3 being a part of the conversation. Crude oil, $65.39.
All right.
You know, inventories going up didn't help so much. Some of the crude companies, midstreams, were taking a hit. We were kind of liking some of that today, thinking, you know, a little bit of value there created. Brent crude, $71.36. So that's about the normal spread, but even the good stuff went down. Gold, $1,182.70. Oh, I know you gold bugs are like, gosh, what the heck's happening?
It's below 1,200, Gregory.
Yeah.
Hadn't been below 1,200 in a while, has it? Let's see. All right, it hadn't been that
well,
long.
Well,
it was last year.
Silver, $14.65. Kind of a normal range for them as well.
But it's going to go to 40 any second now. On the short sheet here, look at Roku. I can't figure this stock out. It has big days up and it has big days down. Someone's either making a lot of money or losing a lot of money on that stock, though. I just see it going crazy. But the short sheet's a nice little mix here. There's more green than red for sure, but my favorite company out there had the best day, and that's Walmart. Did you hear about that?
Oh.
Did you hear about their report? They had their quarterly earnings report, and Gregory, it was good. Fox Business.
Well, this probably got the attention of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Walmart making some impressive ground in the e-commerce world. Its second quarter results showing the best sales growth in over a decade. Online sales jumping 40%.
40.
Foot traffic, though, also gaining more than 2% year over year. Walmart stock responding. Check this out. Up almost 10% at $98.97. It's been a big day for Walmart. Investors like what they hear.
And what you and I have been talking about, that online sales where you go pick it up, that's going through the roof.
They may not be Amazon, but they're doing well in all sectors. And a discussion we were having in the office yesterday about Walmart yesterday morning is about their revenues and how they retain, keep most of their profits. When you look at the past decade, who's the number one when you're talking about revenue and what you keep? They don't make the most revenue, but they keep more of it than anybody else out there. And that has to say something about them long term.
Here's another little stat for you.
They beat on earnings per share. They beat on revenue by $2 billion. And part of the reason, grocery, that is getting big for Walmart. The online pickup now is available at 1,800 Walmarts across the country. And delivery in second quarter is up 40%.
Boom.
We had technicals turn positive on them today. I didn't feel they're in a buy spot. But full disclosure, my wife's portfolio has some of it. And it was down like recently. I'd looked at it, of course, recently. But it was down double digits. And today I gave her the good news. I said, you're up 10% this morning. good hanging in there. I wasn't too worried about it, but you know, it's kind of a positive thing. If you do something with the wife's money, you like it to like give positive news, not bad news.
Happy wife, happy life. Another big mover on the short sheet is Caterpillar. We're about running out of time here. I wanted to bring up this something we're going to talk to on Saturday with our guest, Leisha Nugent Freeland. She's the realtor of the Total Wealth Authority. And it's just the discussion, it's a conversation we have on, you're in your house and you have a little extra money. Is it time to add on to your house? Do you upgrade your house or do you upgrade your house? Do you get a whole new house? So that's something we're talking about on Saturday.
Depends on money.
All right. In the meantime, tell them how they can find your day job.
Hey, day job. If you're looking for some further discussion to drill down on your situation, financial advice, I am a fiduciary. We're going to put you first above all things. Where are you on the path? We'll help you find that and where you're going. I had that discussion today with a couple of different couples in the office. Call us tomorrow. Set up a meeting. 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there and check out our podcast on demand anytime. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life.